It is always a great pleasure to have Jesse Ventura on this program. He joins us again this morning. His new book is Democrips and Rebloodlickens, No More Gangs in Government. And as always, it's a great pleasure to welcome Governor Jesse Ventura to the program. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. This book is so controversial, I'm getting a lot of cancellations.
Why do you feel that it's so controversial?
Well, because, let's face it, I take war and aim at the two predominant parties, or as I call them, gangs, the Democrips and the Rebloodlickens. And, with the situation of our country right now and the Supreme Court ruling that corporations have the same rights as people and that money is a considered free speech, well, the media used to have about 40 outlets about 25 years ago. Through corporate takeover, they're down to about 4. So if you wage war on the corporate who is buying off our politicians, well, they're probably not too pleased about a book like mine.
You make the point in the book that lawmakers, Congress members, in short, our federal lawmakers are on average 9 times richer than the average American.
Yeah, that's a statistical fact.
Why does that matter so much?
Well, because most of them break the law to do it. If you also will see in the book that their return on the stock market is 12% average. That's higher than Warren Buffett. Now, clearly they're getting insider trading, and that's how they're able to do it. Now, if we do that, we go to jail. Ask Martha Stewart. But if they do it, it's perfectly fine. The same way as their entire political system. It's based on the concept of bribery. If you go and bribe them, you get access, you get influence and all that. Well, if you practice bribery in the private sector, what happens? You go to jail. Now, and we can even add lying. Government lies to us all the time, but yet if we lie to them, we go to jail. You know, how come the street only runs one way? And it doesn't go both ways.
How long do you believe that there have been gangs in government? Does that come from the very beginning of our formation as a democracy, or has that eroded over time?
It's eroded over time. If you read chapter 2, you'll see that I have 3 pretty terrific allies in my belief that we need to get the gangs out of government, the political parties out of government. And those allies happen to be in chapter 2, which I quote them, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and John Adams. Now, I figure they know what they created and what our country was supposed to be. They were pretty bright fellows. And in fact, John Adams warned us that the fall of the United States, if it ever did go down, would not come from a force outside. It would come from within. And he said it would be when political parties take over the government.
So when you look at that history, when do you believe that started to happen?
Oh, it started back shortly after them. The parties rose because people had things in common and it just seemed an easier route to go. And then it's gotten progressively and progressively worse until today, when today you have the two major parties are, of course, backed by the major media. So it doesn't give an opportunity for anyone else to get into the game. They're just like street gangs. It's a turf battle. If any other third party rises up, they either fight them and destroy them, or they take them over, which is what happens a great deal. And so it's no different than what happens in the street with the gangs out there. That's how come I make the comparison. And I'll also make the comparison, okay, you got the Democrats or Democrips. Well, the Crips colors are blue, the gang colors blue. What's a blue state? That's a Democratic state. The Bloods colors are red, the Rebloodlickens. What's a red state? Well, there you go again. That's the Bloods, a Republican state. So they even match up on their color code like the street gangs do.
You are and were the highest ranking independent ever elected to office. What does that say about our party politics? You fought against that. So what did you personally see as a result of going up against these two major parties?
Well, I personally, first of all, let me make a correction. I am not the highest elected official. When I was governor, there was also another independent governor. He just didn't get the press I did, I suppose, because of his background. Governor Angus King of Maine. And I might add that Maine and Minnesota always lead the nation in percentage of voter turnout. Isn't that interesting? When the two states that have the percentage of highest voter turnout would be the two states who would elect two independent governors. So Angus King, in fact, he was on his second term. He just didn't get the publicity in press. But I might say today, Angus has now come out of retirement. He's running for the U.S. Senate seat in Maine, and he is leading by a substantial margin over both the Democrats and Republicans there. So, you know, that's going to happen, hopefully, that Angus King will be an independent elected senator soon in the federal government.
So what does it mean to be an independent, number one, and what are the very large challenges that an independent faces in today's environment?
Well, of course you face the two parties, because they like you around about as much as a redheaded stepchild who shows up on the day they read the will. You know, and what it means is you got a heck of a battle on your hands, because they're not going to give an inch against you. They're going to do everything they can to destroy you, even if it means harming the state. That's what they did in Minnesota. I had a Republican House and a Democratic Senate. For most of my 3 years, whichever side I sided with prevailed until my last year. And I submitted a balanced budget right after 9/11. Those two sides got together, which makes me the most powerful man in America, because who else can get the Democrats and Republicans in bed together publicly? And they wouldn't accept my budget. They returned with a budget of their own, which I vetoed twice. They overrode my veto, and what they did, they attempted to do that to hurt me politically. They didn't care about the state of Minnesota. This was all about party politics and getting the independent gone. Well, the result of that, I fooled them. I didn't run for re-election. Well, they were left then with their handiwork and their mess, and they gambled. They rolled the dice in Minnesota. They assumed that the economy would improve and bail them out. Well, the opposite happened. The economy kept going down the toilet, got worse, and 2 years ago, we were faced with a $5 billion budget shortfall, and it was a direct result of what they did to my budget in 2003 that brought that shortfall to the state of Minnesota. So clearly, that shows that they don't have the people's interest in mind at all. It's all about their power and their parties and pushing them and keeping the status quo in power.
Obviously, there is the money, and the money and this gang-like quality that you write about in the book. But besides that, there still are fundamental differences between the parties, isn't there?
If you want to believe that, I don't think so, because if you go to both conventions, the Republican and the Democrat, you'll see the same corporate lobbyists there paying off both sides. So it doesn't really matter. They are going to prevail no matter who gets elected. I mean, Barack Obama hollers and yells at Wall Street on the surface, but yet his biggest contributor is Goldman Sachs. And then he holds big fundraisers where Wall Street pays him off. See, it's all a fraud, you know, and I don't believe there's any fundamental difference. Barack Obama ran on change we can believe in. I haven't seen any change between him and George Bush at all. And in fact, in some instances, it's gotten worse. We now have unmanned drones flying in our country. We have this bill that John McCain, Republican, and Carl Levin, Democrat, co-sponsored, that now turns the U.S. military loose in our country. I think that that's treason to our Constitution. So tell me what the difference is. I'd ask you that.
Well, let me respond this way. And yes, there is the party, and there are the party leaders. But what about the average American who votes for as a Republican or as a Democrat, and what they believe in and what their ideals are? Do you see a difference there? Not the people who are running the party, but people in America who are in a red state or a blue state who identify themselves as a Republican or as a Democrat.
Well, again, that's the false front. They may have differences, which the parties love, but the parties themselves don't. It's all a smoke and mirror game. You know, technically the people may have differences, But what good does that do when the people they elect don't?
Which I assume is how we got to where we are now, where there is such distrust in government and everything is so polarized.
Yep.
So the question, and you write about this in the book, which is, then what do we do about it?
Well, one thing I'd like to see done is I would like all political candidates to be required to wear NASCAR racing suits like Jimmy Johnson. That way we could be an informed public. They'd have to have patches on who owns them. And that way we'd know who they're truly going to serve. Now, I know that's kind of a funny way to put it, but it's the truth. I also would like to see, why do we allow gang names and gang symbols on election ballots? Why not just put the candidate's name down? See, they make it far too easy for the parties. You don't even have to know the candidates. If you're conservative, you just go in and look for the name Republican. If you're liberal, you look for the name Democrat on the ballot. Now, if they just put the candidate's name down, then it would be inherent upon the voter to educate themselves. Now, the parties could still endorse, much the same as the teachers' union, the firemen, the police endorse candidates. But you'd have to read about it. It wouldn't be on the ballot. And like I said, they make it that way, so it simplifies it to where you're really just voting for a party line as opposed to an individual. And our forefathers wanted individuals elected, individuals who would bring their life experiences to bear, not party lines to happen where, and then if you happen to be a Democrat or Republican, and if you go against the party line, well, get ready, because you'll be out on your keister before you can blink.
You write in the book about the Tea Party and the Tea Party that emerged after the election of Barack Obama as president of the United States. What do you make of the Tea Party and the power that they have achieved in a very short period of time?
Well, what I make of them is that initially they might have been good. I found it kind of interesting that they supposedly are a constitutional Bill of Rights party. Well, where were they during George Bush and Dick Cheney when our Constitution and Bill of Rights were being shredded beyond belief? They were nowhere around. So that gives me suspicion, and then it was verified. Well, they got taken over by the Koch brothers, the big oil people now control them. Sarah Palin, Glenn Beck, and all that ilk is in there. So they're a fraud. They may have started off okay, but they were co-opted by the hardcore Republicans, just as the Wall Street movement. The Wall Street movement is attempting to be co-opted now by the Democrats. That's exactly what street gangs do. If a rival comes around, if they can't destroy them, they simply draw them in and take them over. The same mentality as the Crips and the Bloods.
You talk in the book, it's a very interesting chapter, about big media's collusion with these gangs, with the Republicans and the Democrats. And you start off, and it's an interesting point, but start off by talking about the Howard Dean campaign as an example.
Yeah. Well, and the example continues on today. Let's bring it more modern. Let's bring it to Ron Paul. Ron Paul finished by an eyelash behind Michelle Bachmann in the first thing in the caucus in Iowa, yet his name wasn't even mentioned. Yet Rick Santorum initially finished at the bottom, and all they did was, oh, Rick Santorum, Michelle Bachmann. Ron Paul was completely left out. Ron Paul placed in the top three literally in all the Republican primaries pretty much, yet he was poo-pooed away by the mainstream media, totally. And because Ron Paul is not in lockstep with the gang, you know, they don't want him around, really. They want to get rid of him. And the media, well, I listened to Dan Rather the other day, and Dan Rather talked about remember when he reported on George Bush's military career?
Right.
Well, it was all true, and he got fired. He got fired for telling the truth. And like Dan Rather said, 25 years ago, there were roughly 40 independent media outlets. Well, due to corporate takeover, they're now down to about four. And so four corporate outlets determine all the news you're going to get. And those four outlets are all paying off the Democrats and Republicans. So not only are they controlling politics, they're controlling what we learn and know about it.
How do you feel you were dealt with in the
by
media?
Who?
In the media. By
horribly.
The media.
Man, if you thought that, if they used to gripe about how bad they were on Sarah Palin didn't get nothing compared to what I got. I mean, they attacked my children. How can you go any lower than that?
And do you feel it was because of what you stood for or because of your background?
I think it wasn't for my policy. I was never once attacked for my government or my political policy. I was always attacked personally. Personal things. I might say something or something, you know, totally personal. It was never on policy. It was always personal I was attacked.
When you look at other, and people will often say, okay, well, you have the Tea Party, and then you look, and when progressive and liberals will say, what we have accomplished, to use an example of what they have accomplished, they will often look at the Occupy Wall Street movement. So as we talked about the Tea Party, do you see that as a true movement and a concern from the grassroots of people about what is happening?
Absolutely. But the problem is the Democrats are trying to co-opt it the same way the Republicans co-opt the original Tea Party movement. Notice this. Notice how the Tea Party never gets pepper spray. When they protest or gather, they're never pepper sprayed or ran off by dogs, are they? But the Wall Street people were. Interesting, in Minnesota, I went down there 6 times because I wanted to give them a political face, because I'll tell you this, I am the only politician in 50 years in a major election who spent less money than what the job paid me for the 4 years. I only raised $300,000. My salary for the 4 years was $480,000. Tell me anybody else who spent less than what they made doing the job. So I wanted to put my face to the Wall Street, because Wall Street was saying, Wall Street, stop buying our politicians. Stop buying them off. That was the movement. Well, it was interesting how government used local ordinance to override the First Amendment. Case in point, in Minneapolis, a local park ordinance says that you can't have a generator in the park, and it was very cold. So the protesters were not allowed to have a generator in the park. But when I went down there, there was a generator running 24/7 in the park. You know what it was for? The generator was there with a camera, a surveillance camera on top, to keep the protesters under surveillance. So again, here's another case. The government doesn't have to abide by the law, but we the people do.
So people who are listening to you and have this level of anger and mistrust over government, what should they do? Especially this being an election year where they will be asked in November to turn out and try to figure out what the future direction of this country is.
I'll tell you what they should do. The 89% or whatever it is that can't stand the Congress and all that, it's simple. What they should do is not vote for Democrats or Republicans. They should still go out and vote. Do what I do and do what I will do this year. The Libertarian Party, their presidential candidate is former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson. He was governor of New Mexico and I was governor of Minnesota. He is a good man. He's an honest man. He's a former Republican who, again, wouldn't toe the Republican line, so he was pretty much cast out of the party. Vote for Gary Johnson. If they want to make a mark and an immediate impact, and don't buy that stuff that he can't win, because they told me I couldn't win either. That was a ploy they used on the Minnesota voters. Well, Jesse's nice and Jesse's this, but Jesse can't win. That's what the media said also. Lo and behold, who became the governor of Minnesota? I did. You can win. And people need, if they want to protest and vote against the status quo, I urge them to join with me and vote Libertarian. Vote for Governor Gary Johnson for president. Even if he doesn't win, if he gets like 20% of the vote, oh, that'll cause fear and chaos amongst these two gangs.
Democrats and Rebloodlicans is the new book by Governor Jesse Ventura. The subtitle is No More Gangs in Government. Jesse Ventura, it's a great pleasure to have you on the radio once again with us. I thank you very much, and good luck in your efforts.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, because I'll just throw this in. Don Imus's people wanted me on badly, but Don Imus wouldn't put me on. So I'm being censored also, you know, because of the topic. And that's not good for America. We're supposed to be land of the free. We're supposed to have open debate and be able to talk about anything. But I'm afraid that doesn't happen today. We're very much controlled, and our civil rights and our Bill of Rights are being violated as much as you can imagine. But again, thank you very much for allowing me on your show.
It's a great pleasure to have
you. Okay, bye-bye. Have a good one.
Thanks very much. Again, Governor Jesse Ventura, the name of the book, Democrips and Rebloodlicans, No More Gangs in Government. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.